Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp. Welcome to Fightful. It is now April 7th, 2025, as an AEW show carried on past midnight. We've got your AEW Revolution review. I want you to go ahead and leave a thumbs up on this video. If you're in the chat, drop a fruit emoji. Let me know that you're here. If you're in the comments, I will be there in the morning, in the afternoon, talking with you guys about this show. Just like I was over on FightfulSelect.com, the best $5.99 a month in the business. Please subscribe. We had a scoops thread today. Details this week on a bunch of injuries. Tiffany Stratton and Charlotte Flair. Raw scoops thread coming on Monday. Producers, writers. Quite frankly, a significant percentage of the news that ends up on Twitter, Facebook, websites comes from Fightful Select, and you don't have to worry about it getting aggregated poorly. In fact, a number of the scoops I'm going to drop today are a result of FightfulSelect.com. My Q&A show will drop on Monday. There's still time to get your questions in. I think last week we counted up over 20 stories ended up on other websites throughout the week from that. So please go subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. But if you want to get your question or statement in right now, you can do that by dropping a super chat here at youtube.com/Fightful or a humper chat over at humperchats.com. That's hump like a camel's hump or other recreational or intimate activities, you know. So get those in, my friends. We got lots to talk about, lots of scoops, and we got lots of stuff on Fightful's YouTube. We are here every night. We're in the middle of a 2-week stretch where we are here every single night. Plus, we got shows like Beyond the Bell, Grapsody, and The Hump. But, man, let's get into it. Whoa, a super chat just hit. Jambeard says, not about AEW, but since you're a Blue Jays fan, the Blue Jays just re-signed Vladdy for a 14-year deal worth $500 million. Oh, my God. As many of you know, I'm primarily a Reds fan. I grew up an hour away from Cincinnati, still live an hour away. But, always have had a soft spot for the Toronto Blue Jays. Grew up loving the Blue Jays. They were my little league team as well. And then I do a lot of business in Toronto, so I've been to a lot of Blue Jays games and really love them. Listen, I love that. I love that for the Blue Jays, and I hope the Reds immediately get a deal like that done with Ellie, which won't happen. It absolutely won't happen. But I can dream, right? Get in those super chats. Get in those humper chats. Some other content on Fightful's YouTube here. We have a series called Fightful Presents. We've got a great episode dropping this week. It's about the man who sacrificed his wrestling career to save a life, Sonny Siaki. We have TNA trying to go to war with WWE on Mondays, the New Japan exodus to WWE, all kinds of cool stuff. This past Friday, or actually it was Saturday, we did a video, myself and Jimmy, going through some of the first wrestling figures ever. Japanese poppy figures. Inoki, Hogan, whole bunch more. And we are headed towards WrestleMania week over the next couple weeks. We're going to have more episodes. We're going to have lots of interviews. Lots of cool stuff. Ryan says, let me guess, Tony Khan is busy with draft season, JK. Tony Khan does evaluate a lot of undrafted free agents. Like, that is his role there. But our role here is to tell you about Bet Online. We're going to be bringing you who were the favorites, who were the underdogs. Fightful had one off pick all night, and all of our lock picks over at FightfulSelect.com hit. We are now 25 for 25. Yeah, boys. But let's go ahead and get into this show. Nick Wayne and the crew, Leo Rush and Action Andretti defeated AR Fox and Top Flight. This is, you know, listen, anytime I review an AEW show, it goes without saying two or three matches could have been on Collision or Dynamite. But that being said, like two of the matches that I feel like could have been on Collision and Dynamite, this and Fletcher and Briscoe tore the house down. Tore the house down. AR Fox, man, I was so happy for this guy. Just killed it. Just killed it. I don't know what was up with Leo Rush and Action Andretti's jackets as they came out, but hey, whatever. I do not think it was an accident that Nick Wayne gets a win on this show, and I will tell you all more about why later on. Layla Gray looks like a star. Interviewed her now husband, Luke Curtis, who's done a bunch of extra work. That's on YouTube for you guys. But this is the type of match that you want to hype a crowd up to get them going. And everybody here delivered. And if Nick Wayne ends up doing more stuff with Leo Rush and Action Andretti, I wouldn't hate it. But right now he's got the Kip Sabian and Christian thing going and Kill Switch waiting in the wings. FightfulSelect.com reported that he was at Revolution. It was, and they were open to possibly using him, but don't know what happened there, but he seems to be en route to coming back. But this was a good match, and I would expect that Nick Wayne won this for a reason that we'll get into later. Let's talk about something else great that happened on Zero Hour. Max Caster's Open Challenge. When the Acclaimed split, a lot of people assumed, one, back in the day, people assumed that Max Caster would be the breakout star because he had the charisma, his raps got over, all that stuff. Then slowly the sentiment, you know, you would hear Max Caster say some wild stuff, or maybe Anthony Bowens would show out more in the ring and get a little tired of Max Caster. You would start to think, well, it's probably going to be Anthony Bowens. Anthony Bowens went off TV after this split, just disappeared. And a lot of people said, where is he? Where is he? Max Caster spent that time getting over by losing to everybody. A few months ago, you can go back and see me talk about the best wrestler alive gimmick. And admittedly, I was like, I don't think that it works. And the reason I didn't think that it worked is because he's clearly not the best wrestler alive, but also he's not a bad wrestler. He's a fine wrestler. And I didn't think that he was either good enough for it to be true, nor bad enough for it to be ironic. But him getting the trademark and carrying that around took it to the next level, man. And I got to say, Max Caster, I was not familiar with your game. I do owe you an apology because he has killed it. He has been incredible with this. And as a result, he has lost, and gotten over more. And ultimately, it does culminate with this, which is Anthony Bowens returning. And I think that Anthony Bowens going away for a while, allowing Max Caster to get over with this, and then coming in and crushing him, which, by the way, was like a big spinning punch to the face. I really dug it. Jordan sent a humper chat and said, love the pop that Bowens got. Pretty solid show. Glad the Bucks are back, but WTF. Oh boy, I'll be talking about that. So what I hope is that this is actually a catalyst for Bowens to get another finish, and I'll tell you why. In my opinion, rules are very important, and rules kind of rule. One of those rules is no closed fist punches, which hasn't been enforced in wrestling in a long time. You say, well, why are they banned anyway? Because it's one of the fakest things in pro wrestling. How many times have you seen an MMA fight and somebody gets knocked out? In boxing, literally, you get knocked out from punches, obviously repeated punches, rarely one punches. But the gloves are created to not clench your fist. So in pro wrestling, you clench your fist. One, you're not marking anybody up. You're not knocking anybody out, except for right here, which it was a knockout. So Max Caster should go to AEW management and say, since when was this legal? Why can't we crack down on this? And then it will establish that this isn't a legal tactic. Now you might say, Sean, why does it matter? Because again, I think that punching somebody in the face in any other circumstance with a closed fist is extremely fake. With Bowens, he knocked a dude out. It was great use of it. But I think it's an even better way to use it as a catalyst for psychology in the future. Because otherwise, why is anybody doing an open hand chop? The only reason open hand chops exist is because you're not allowed to close your fist, supposedly. They just don't enforce it anymore. Otherwise, I mean, not otherwise. I loved everything about this. Bowen's got a great reaction. I hate Jane's Addiction, but they licensed what I think is probably the best Jane's Addiction song I've ever heard in my life. So good for Anthony Bowens. He felt like he was very important here. Felt like he was very important. BetOnline.ag, where, of course, we want you to bet what you can and please bet responsibly, did not have lines for this, but in our Fightful Select Scoops thread, we did say we favor whoever he's facing for obvious reasons. Oh, man. What a week it's been for Kevin Knight, right? Like, last Saturday, he has his AEW sort of re-debut. And I'll try to walk you through some of this process. In early January, or actually, I believe in December, I found out that his deal would be up in January. But then in early January, the week of Wrestle Kingdom, his deal was actually up. He wrestled at Wrestle Kingdom with no contract. FightfulSelect.com, your boys, reported that. And I started to get word, like, listen, a lot of people are going to work in New Japan without contracts. Naito is one of them, even though people seem to think it's an April Fool's joke. Not based on what I heard. Fightful Select reported that TJP is among them. Gabe Kidd been kind of late on signing his deal. Don't know if he has yet. But Kevin Knight was looking to come to America. Like, that was made abundantly clear to me in January. Like, this guy wants to wrestle in America. He wants to be based in the States. And from what I understand, New Japan hasn't been offering like an incredible amount of money to a lot of talent, but WWE brought him in for a tryout. Like, I know a lot of people thought he was just invited. He did a WWE tryout. I don't know what came of it. WWE, at least what they had said, was like, oh, maybe the timing wasn't right and all that. But like, I'm baffled by this. If that's the case, I'm baffled by the whole WWE element of it. Because anybody that watched this match, anybody that takes one look at him, you don't even got to watch a match. Considering some of the athletes they sign, you just sign Kevin Knight, sight unseen, doesn't matter. But Kevin Knight isn't sight unseen. If you want to talk about indies, he's worked GCW, Maple Leaf Pro, Deadlock, biggest indies out there. You want to talk about TV, he's worked CMLL, he's worked TNA, he's worked ROH, AEW, New Japan. TNA, it worked everything. He's been on every type of TV. You know what you have there. He doesn't need to be doing front rolls 5 days a week. He should be on the same type of deal that like Ricky Starks, Jordan Grace are on, whatever it is that they are on. That's what he should be on. That's the level of good he is. And obviously you could see from this match, he would have immediately stepped in and been a main event caliber NXT player immediately. Not saying he should have went to the main roster immediately, because listen, they got plenty of talent there. But in NXT, he imagine him against Evans. Imagine him against Ricky Starks. It would have worked really, really well there. But their loss is AEW's gain. When AEW had him in to work an ROH date, of which you'll notice they didn't have him lose that match in February. Rocky Romero and Tony Khan spoke with him. I believe he will work New Japan again in the future. I think that's going to be a thing. But Kevin Knight ends up working Switchblade Jay White. Unfortunately, FightfulSelect.com reported this week Switchblade Jay White is out, might require surgery. It affected creative plans. Jay White versus Will Ospreay, as reported by Fightful Select, was the plan for tonight. They did effectively insert Kevin Knight into this tournament. I saw some people say, well, why should he get it after losing to Jay White? I'll explain to you why I'm okay with it. Natalya is a big proponent of Kevin Knight. He's trained at the Dungeon 2.0. I think that's a great way to do that. I love that. I'm told that commentary called it a rolling forearm from Bowens. Well, I guess I'm a big idiot then. Thank you, Cody, for putting that in there. I appreciate you. But I mean, I know Knight...
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Had interest from a little bit of everybody. Now, FightfulSelect.com had Ospreay as one of our Bet Online AG lock picks. I think it was fairly obvious here. Ospreay's going to win this match. There's a couple spots here that I really enjoyed, though. I mean, a lot more than a couple. The DDTs from Knight. The twisting frog splash. After all these years, you see a frog splash. And that's an art bar by all accounts seemed to be a not good person, but did one of the best frog splashes I have ever seen. Eddie Guerrero did a good one. A lot of people do it as an homage to him. It's hard to beat Rob Van Dam's. I feel like Montez Ford was able to beat Rob Van Dam's. I didn't think that I would ever see somebody that did one better than Art Barr. Then I didn't think I'd see somebody that did one better than RVD. Art Barr in the 90s, RVD in the 2000s, then Montez Ford in the 2010s. And I won't say necessarily it's better, but here in the 2020s, we are seeing Kevin Knight do one just as good as Montez Ford. Unbelievable. That frog splash. And another spot that I really loved here. Ospreay went for a Styles clash, and these two guys didn't miss a beat. It's clear that Ospreay, if you go back and watch, didn't have good grip on Knight and then just, bam, power bombed him, then pulled him up. And Knight was with it the whole time. Knight knew, power bomb, okay, you lost your grip. We're going straight to the Styles clash. Not going to tuck my chin, going to bend my neck that way. Incredible spot. Incredible spot. Then went into the hidden blade. In two losses this week, but also getting a win or two, Kevin Knight immediately was given some credibility. Now, what I need to see from AEW is them following up on this and him not, all due respect to Action Andretti, but becoming Action Andretti and being off TV. Now, granted, in Action Andretti's win over Chris Jericho, like it wasn't an incredible match or anything. It was just a big win. But they have to follow up on Kevin Knight here. He's got to find something. I don't think they're going to bring in his tag team partner, Kushida. Maybe, you know, maybe they will in the future. But Kevin Knight, I think, has pretty well established him as himself as a singles guy. Listen, I know there's some people a few months ago that had mentioned Kevin Knight in the Hurt Syndicate. Cedric's out there now. I don't know if Cedric would be AEW bound or anything like that, or if they're looking to add any new people to the Hurt Syndicate besides MJF, which we're about to talk about. But Kevin Knight is a big opportunity. You have to look at what AEW has right now. Kyle Fletcher, very clearly a guy. Takeshita, very clearly a guy. Speedball has gotten over very quick. Ricochet is on another level of his career. They've got a lot of these people that have emerged or popped up. They're about to get Josh Alexander, as FightfulSelect.com reported. He is one that they've got to maximize his potential there. Get in those super chats, get in those humper chats. Also, please leave a thumbs up on this video. It would mean an awful lot if you guys did that. It lets the audience lets YouTube know, rather, that you all like what you're seeing. Hurt Syndicate defeated Big Bill and Brian Keith. You know, Brian Keith is a little bit like Ishii in that he is smaller in stature than most people, but is a sirloin beef son's a bitch, regardless. He could convincingly do that style. MVP's on commentary. The chants are nonstop throughout this match. I felt like this one could have been on Dynamite or Collision. But I'm also like a little torn because Big Bill and Brian Keith are a formidable tag team and should have some level of protection. But also, Bobby Lashley and Shelton, I don't feel like should need people to beat other teams. That being said, you are working an angle with MJF, who helped. It's him trying to get into their good graces. So I'm intrigued as to where it went. This was largely for the storyline, but I thought the performers all did well. The crowd just loves Hurt Syndicate. And they go a little more heelish, which my thing is, like, if you were going to still lean the heelish direction, Swerve probably should have got a win back over Lashley, especially if he was going to go into the tag division. But MVP is just phenomenal in this role. I love Shelton Benjamin. I think Bobby Lashley's killing it. Much like Kevin Knight, I want to know what happens with Big Bill and Brian Keith after this, because we have Jericho losing later. So I definitely want to make sure that they have something in order for these guys. And maybe it's a Jericho split. FightfulSelect.com, you boys, had Hurt Syndicate as your bet online lock pick. But listen, if you want a lock for staying asleep, our friends at Helix got you covered.
I can't begin to tell you guys the value of a good night's sleep. It changed my life when I changed my sleeping habits. And HelixSleep.com/Fightful was a part of that before we even did business with them. I wanted to find a new mattress and I wanted to make sure I had the one that was right for me. I went to HelixSleep.com, I took their sleep quiz, got matched up to one of their models, and it's taken me from just a back sleeper to also a side sleeper, which gets me a better night's sleep in general. They have a 100-night risk-free trial. If you want to send it back, they'll come get it. They've got flexible financing plans. They've always got great deals over at HelixSleep.com/Fightful. Ideally, you're spending at least one-third of your life in your bed. Make sure that you invest in your sleep. It's something that you're using a great portion of your life. You want to check them out. They've got a 10 to 15 year warranty, free U.S. shipping with quick, no contact delivery. Setup is so easy. And they got 30,000 plus 5-star reviews at HelixSleep.com/Fightful.
Check it out, guys. HelixSleep.com/Fightful. I mentioned it in the video as well, but I've got two mattresses of my own and got one for my mom as a gift as well, because listen, it changed how I slept. Very good stuff. BetOnline AG FightfulSelect.com lockpick. Mercedes Moné. I mean, you had to know she was winning this one. We had reported at Fightful Select the plan is for Mercedes and Athena. It was discussed for Dynasty as well, but they ended up kind of holding that back a little bit. It's very clear that she and Athena are going to head towards the second round. There was some, it was a little clunky at times in this match, but fights sometimes can be. There was the Mercedes slip. I will say that her recovery into just getting the crowd to chant CEO was pretty fun. There was Julia also landing on her arm in the crucifix. This was like a fine match. It felt like, I don't know if Julia intentionally did the tarantula the way that she did it, like by holding the ankles, but you don't really get leverage doing that. It's like, it's not as much of a convincing move, but the octopus hold, the Black Widow, ended up going really, really well for her. I like that. She's taking a lot of like the spider named moves and making them her own. But there was a particular spot I think Julia could have slowed down on, and that was the body press and then getting up immediately, going right inside to the Tilt-A-Whirl DDT. Felt like there could have been a little more selling there on that to kind of add the gravity of her just jumping off of there. But like, man, the crowd was behind Julia. They start chanting for her. They love her. They love her. Like if she eventually puts it all together in the ring, man, it's going to be something. Now, as things stand, like her booking has peaked with the TBS title. And I don't know where the upward trajectory goes from there. House of Black is no more as a grand thing. Malakai's gone. Unfortunately, Buddy had been sidelined. since the Australia show. He's still, he doesn't seem to be on crutches, though, at least these days, or in a boot or anything, which is good news. Brody's doing his own thing. So I wonder what her direction is. Mercedes, I got a good feeling what her direction is. I think that she or Athena take on Toni Storm at AEW All In. And I'll talk more about that momentarily. Last third of this, though, they really got cooking. Like, they got on fire in the last third of this match. Crowd was really biting on the they were biting on the false finishes and Julia's hope spots and all that. But like, I looked at this and I was like, okay, that is what you want from Julia. As she continues to grow and continues to learn in the ring, they care. They care when she's in the ring with Mercedes. They're feeling good about her and her level of competition and at least the possibility of her winning in a match that seemed like it was a foregone conclusion, right? Like, I think almost everybody assumed that Mercedes was going to win this. Now, as far as what I mentioned about All In, my feeling is Mercedes probably beats Athena. I think it's pretty clear that they're doing Mercedes, Athena, and the Owen. That way they can do it, but they don't have to switch a title. But Mercedes is going to get that Britt Baker belt, the Owen Hart Foundation tournament belt. So she'll continue to have another title. Then she'll face off with Toni Storm at All In and try to win that title as well. Or they'll have Athena do it, and it's in Texas where she spent an awful lot of time. I'll ask Luis to apply that super or that Humper Chat in our document to the main event segment. Yeah, I watched the Mercedes and Julia match, and it's so funny because in our Discord, everybody loved it. Fightful Select Discord. On Twitter, I saw a lot of people being like, man, it's a little clunky, a little slow. I was like right there in the middle. Like, I felt like the first part of it was a little clunky, but man, that last half, they really got cooking. They really got fired up, and I liked the way that it went. Another Bet Online AG, FightfulSelect.com lock pick. I think we went 5 for 5 tonight. We are like 25 for 25 overall. Make yourself some money with Bet Online AG. Highest credit card acceptance, big bet limits. Check it out, man. You can compare all their customers. They're trusted worldwide, trusted for years as well. Bet Online, not just wrestling, but MMA, boxing, NCAA, Major League Baseball, NBA, all that. But we had the Death Riders defeating rated FTR. I knew this match was going to be a slapper. I knew it was going to be a humper. And I got to say, one of the highlights of this match was Wheeler Yuta. This guy who went from the most go away of heat to me. I was just so annoyed. Just didn't want to watch him. Wasn't feeling it. Like, oh, they're having him interfere in something. Here he comes out in his red pants again. His maroon pants, his green pants again, whatever color his pants are. They're not blue jeans. It ain't natural. Forcing that lifestyle on me of green pants. But by God, that man has got the right kind of heat now. With me, seems like with the crowd as well. They hate Wheeler Yuta. And listen, I did an interview with Bryan Danielson back in December at the All In ticketing event. It's still on our YouTube, but I just released it a few weeks ago because we had some editing snafus. But he's like, I don't know, man. I don't know if I ever wrestle again. It's going to be months at least. I don't know. Listen, we have a headline that became a meme. Bryan Danielson saying, I love to lie. Cody Rhodes taught me how to lie. I think it's very clearly being set up for Bryan Danielson to come back, probably, hopefully, something like All In, and face Wheeler Yuta, who used his however the hell I pronounce it, I said online that he used Brian Danielson's knee, and somebody said, well, he actually used his own knee. But you could do the Vachon thing with Diesel where he rips off the leg, but Danielson doesn't have a fake one. So Wheeler Yuta is getting over, man. He's doing great. The match itself was really good. I love the dual sharpshooters with Dax and Claudio where they were slapping each other. Ooh, that's good stuff, man. The shatter machine into the spear being broken up. The brutalizer. I was afraid like they landed on Pac's leg and it was going to be bad there. This was a hell of a match. Hell of a match. This is why I want to see trios booked effectively. And my thing is like, okay, so are we going to see Lio Rush, Action Andretti, and Nick Wayne do more trios? Because they won on a pay-per-view show as a trios. How many times, like, I think it All Out, there were like a ton of trios matches. And hardly anybody emerged from that. I want to see them use these trios. I want to see absolute humpers. It gives you a reason to not have constant selling or psychology consume a match and do fast-paced stuff when there are six ingredients involved. My prophecy is coming true, you guys. We're getting it. It's going to happen. Cope and Christian, FTR, all in. Mark it down. Barring some unforeseen circumstances.
Yeah, boys.
At FightfulSelect.com, in our Scoops thread tonight, reported that FTR had significant creative emerging from this match. That significant creative is turning on Cope and heading towards a Cope and Christian versus FTR tag team match. They attacked Cope. Cash didn't seem with it at first. He got with it pretty quick. Crack him with chairs and beat him and pile drive him and do one man concertos. I thought that Cash was going to stop Dax and then be like, no, we'll do it the right way. And they stand up and do it. That's how you do a concerto. That's how they did it back in my day. That's what we're going to see down the line. It's going to happen. And again, I say it's not an accident that Nick Wayne won tonight. Why is that? Why is that not an accident, Sean Rossap? Well, Nick Wayne got himself involved in some business maybe a month ago, last pay-per-view, I think. Then Christian also got himself involved in some stuff, lost his briefcase. Then Nick Wayne questions him. Christian gets in his face, there's a little back and forth. Nick Wayne's off doing his own thing a little bit more now, right? He's starting to defy his father. But they have to find a way to make Nick Wayne the heel in this situation, unless they want Christian to remain a heel. To be the devil that Cope knows, so to speak. I would love that. I don't want Christian to be a babyface. I want Christian to be the devil on Cope's shoulder, saying, you were every bit as despicable as me. Look what I just did to this kid. I raised him as my own. Imagine what I'll do to these two guys that I never even really liked. It's going to happen, guys. It's got to happen at this stage. I can't wait. I can't wait for it. Need it to happen. Need it to happen. Whew. And you want to talk about something for all. You know, I got everybody saying, Sean, All In is at like 13,000 tickets. I'm doing the Ibu voice, even though Ibu's never said this to me. Shout out to our good friend Ibu. But the very serious Ibu voice, Sean, it's only moved 13,000 tickets. You think they might move this show? He's never said that to me. But other people on Discord, on our Q&A have. And I'm like, brother, we are 3 months away. They have yet to announce a Kenny Omega Okada match. They have yet to announce Osprey Mox, probably. They've yet to announce probably Hangman versus Swerve or Hangman and Swerve versus Young Bucks. They've yet to announce Mercedes and or Athena against Tony Storm. They have yet to announce Darby with Sting in his corner against whoever it is he's facing. They've yet to announce an awful lot of that stuff. You know, Dax versus, or FTR versus Cope and Christian. Jambeard says, not going to lie, if Cope and Cage team up, I think a three-team, three-way match would be real fun at All In. Cope and Cage versus FTR versus Wayne and Kip. Listen, Jambeard, I appreciate that idea, but and I mean all due respect to Kip and Nick Wayne. I think you've got to do it as Cope and Cage versus FTR. Straight up, two of the greatest tag teams of all time. That's how you got to do it, to me. And then maybe down the line, you add them into it. Oh, man. Definitely thought Hangman and the Wild Card was tonight. Definitely thought that was tonight. Well, Jambeard also says, my prediction is Monet beats Athena by cheating and Athena gets her revenge by distracting Monet in the finals and Hayter wins to face Tony. You get title versus title, Monet versus Athena at All In as well. Possibly. I think they're going to go with the hot hand of Mercedes against Tony right now. I don't know. Athena's pretty over as well, like when she shows up there. But damn, man, like, I think that if you're looking to put asses in seats, I think you got to go all of your biggest matches possible. And I think the ones that I have mentioned are those as of now. And I think that the tag titles could probably end up on one of those four teams as well. Well, no, I mean, listen. Maybe not. Maybe Hurt Syndicate down the line. I'm interested to how they fit into all this. Well, yeah, boys at FightfulSelect.com had a lock pick earlier this afternoon that we actually changed to just a pick. It was Tony Storm defeating Megan Bain. Ended up, Tony Storm beat Megan Bain. So, got that one right as well. There were about 732 German suplexes in this match. And I would say about 731 of them landed on somebody's shoulders. I am worried about the shoulders of these women after this match. But I thought in beating Megan Bain, this was a phenomenal way to do it. I know a lot of people thought Megan Bain should have won. And if you're of that camp and that belief, listen, I'm with you. I would be completely okay with that. She's been booked as a very unstoppable monster very early on. It took like flipping German suplexes. It took Storm Zero. It took the most devastating hip attacks in the corner that you've ever seen. It took a lot to beat Megan Bain. And then she kicked out at one out of Storm Zero. That was incredible, man. And I got sold a ticket on that sit down powerbomb. I had shades of Batista. Oh my God, she's going to do it. She is going to win. And then Tony won. And listen, I think that Tony is in a league only with Mercedes right now, and probably Athena as well, but she doesn't get on Dynamite or Collision as much. And I think that's the Collision course. All In, the two biggest names. Now, listen, I think that Megan Bain's going to be involved in something big over the next few months as well. They have seen that they can trust in her. She got brought back in, I think a new deal, I think, but is now put in a position where she competed for the world title on pay-per-view and did a great job. Also a great job. I love the Tony Storm Philly-inspired Rocky gear and entrance. I mean, listen, maybe the chat could help me out here. What could they do in Arizona for Double or Nothing? Or, you know, you could do something casino themed, you know, maybe thematic to the event. But I like local. Listen, you can't do Natural Born Killers. even though Luther as Woody Harrelson would be funny, his character did some crazy stuff in that movie. That was based in Arizona for a little bit. What Arizona movies are there? Because I love the Rocky stuff. Like LA, that's easy. Texas, come on. Texas is easy. Texas, she comes out there as Texas Chainsaw Massacre, steals the belt from Jeff Jarrett, defends that against Mercedes as well. But I love this. I thought this was incredible. Somebody said, Raising Arizona, 310 to Yuma. There you go. Show me the money. Jerry Maguire wasn't based in Arizona, was it? Psycho. Okay. Tombstone. Everybody's saying Raising Arizona, Tombstone. 310 to Yuma is a... I don't know if I've watched 310 to Yuma. I need to watch 310 to Yuma. Watch Jackie Brown for the first time this week. Longtime viewers of the Fightful podcast. First off, you'll be happy to hear I've locked down our dude Jeff Hawkins for the WrestleMania post shows with me. But he and Anna used to give me crap because I hated Pulp Fiction. Didn't like it. Thought it was way too long, full of dialogue, just not good. Kill Bill, I think, is pretty good. Sometimes a little over the top. Loved Django. I had never watched a ton of Pam Grier, and I watched Jackie Brown, and immediately, Pam Grier is one of my favorite actresses I have ever seen in my entire life. If Pam Grier had been a wrestler, she would be a top five promo of all time. Yeah, Pulp Fiction sucks, guys. Don't hit me with the you hate what. It sucks. That movie could be 35, 40 minutes shorter. Jackie Brown is goated, though. What an incredible movie that was. What an incredible movie that was. Jordan says, trade Sting to induct Lex Luger into the Hall of Fame for El Generico being the wild card in the Owen. Hangman gets a big win, doesn't hurt Sammy, and a loss. If I were Tony, I would for sure ask for something to allow Sting to do that. Now, I've had people ask me since FightfulSelect.com reported that they were planning on making an inquiry. Do I believe that Sting will do this? So here's why I think he will. And again, hunch, not a report. Sting primarily does one day of signings. Also, he's very expensive. It costs like $30,000 to do signings. His WrestleMania week extended to 2 days. That leads me to believe that he was being brought in and would be around for an extra day. I think he was already set for Sunday signing. I think. Perhaps somebody that may usually be watching the show who would know could let me know. But and then I believe the Hall of Fame would be, what, Friday? So then you add that second day. Makes an awful lot of sense. But also, listen, AEW likes Luger a lot. He was backstage at multiple shows of theirs. He has worked really hard to make amends and help a lot of people. And it's about him. But also, if you continue to do favors for a company, which, you know, they've allowed people to send in videos and allowed Billy Gunn to do the Hall of Fame, you know, WWE, I mean, you could argue who allowed who to do what. AEW allowed Jericho to do Austin's WWE Network pod, but I believe Jericho promoted AEW shows on there quite a bit. You know, it's tough, man, because, like, I don't like WWE counter-programming AEW. I don't like anybody counter-programming anybody intentionally. I think it's lame. The only time I ever liked it is when UFC and Affliction did it, because we were talking about pay-per-view shows that were being like a little bit different in that capacity. Like, they were putting Anderson Silva against Fedor fights and stuff like that. But you know they're doing it to harm. And looking back, I would have been like, yeah, okay, well, this is paced a little bit differently, MMA compared to pro wrestling. Just not keen on it. Not keen on it. Because I covered pro wrestling when there was an absolute monopoly, and it wasn't fun. It wasn't good. Wouldn't like it if AEW did it to WWE either. Absolutely wouldn't. Shout out to Megan Bain. Shout out to Tony Storm. They did a great job in their match. I'll have people say, well, you want people to have competition until they do something competitive. I don't work for them. Contrary to what people on the internet say, I've never been paid by a wrestling company. I ain't even been paid by wrestling companies that I wrestle for. They got to donate to charity to get me to do that. For the very reason of ain't getting giving you favorable treatment or anything like that. I know there's a whole lot of people out there that claim that like so-and-so get paid by AEW or WWE. Listen, I have absolutely heard of people getting flown in years ago to cover WWE shows. Haven't heard that of AEW. And if it's happening, it's something I want to know about because I want to know if their information is valid or slanted or if their coverage is favorable for a certain reason. Should we be aggregating these people? You know what I mean? Kyle Fletcher was one of the FightfulSelect.com BetOnline AG lock picks. This is also a match that I feel like could have been on Dynamite or Collision. But Jesus Christ Almighty, they killed it. Listen, I know what Jay Briscoe said years ago was terrible, and it's something that I know from people at ROH he went to make amends for. But man, WBD not allowing he and Mark Briscoe on their TV show. I'm just like, imagine what we missed not having them as a tag team on Dynamite and Rampage back then. Because Mark Briscoe, here he is a few years later, absolutely killing it. Vicky had sent me a message saying Kyle Fletcher looked like a condom. Listen, the man is secure with his masculinity, and I respect that. I respect that out of Kyle Fletcher. Looks like $1 million, performs like $2 million, which is probably on the low end of what he's going to be making per year down the line. He's unbelievable. And Mark Briscoe went out of his way to give him a killer match. Only complaint, Burning Hammer, don't ever want to see it done and not end in a pin anymore. Listen, I love Cody Rhodes, but I'm like, damn, you got to kick out at one. Somebody says $1 million condom. Shout out Blue Chew. Shout out Blue Chew. This was a phenomenal match. I love how much Kyle Fletcher is leaning into getting the Brainbuster over. But Jesus Christ, he hit one on the apron, hit one in the ring, then the Brainbuster on the top rope. Oh boy. This was a hum pair, friends. This was so good. And Kyle Fletcher gets a win. Gives him a win in the tournament. Mark Briscoe, I don't want to call him a loser, the lovable loser, though he's the guy you always want to see pull off that win, right? Like he struggles in these tournaments. But he'll always make you care. And he's such a lovely guy, man. Like I love interviewing this guy. And I think he's also one of the best natural promos out there. I thought Jay Briscoe was as well. Always believe everything that he says. Always. Get in those super chats. Get in those humper chats. Please leave a thumbs up on this video. I'm right back here tomorrow night doing WWE Raw. But hey, if you all don't want to wait that long, I got a Q&A show dropping on FightfulSelect.com on Monday. ROH Championship title versus mask. Bandido versus Chris Jericho. Now listen, I want to say this. Despite the shitty finish to this match, I think this was the best Chris Jericho match I've seen since either Takeshita or the Roderick Strong match. This was a fantastic match, I thought. However, as I have said, oh, this match could be on Dynamite or Collision. This could have been on Ring of Honor. Because why is it that the Ring of Honor world champion can be on this show and Dynamite and Collision, but Athena can't be? Somebody that your core audience might want to watch. Now, from what I understand, Chris Jericho is largely moving away from ROH after this. It's what FightfulSelect.com reported. We also reported that Bandido had been planned to win this for quite a while. Quite a while. And also, while we're on the learning tree thing, this isn't a super chat, but I wanted to shout out Brandon. He says, didn't get to say this earlier, but my God, they booked Big Bill Strong. Keith even got some creative control despite getting his shit kicked in. I agree, and I hope that leads to them splitting from this, the learning tree. We are 11 months in. It's time to move on. It's time to move on. Jericho, outside of a stable, please. He's got about 8 months left on his deal. Let's move away from it. Outside of that terrible finish that should not have happened, this was a phenomenal match. I don't know how Jericho's knees are still put together. This man has been one of the toughest guys in pro wrestling for 30 years. I don't know how his ACLs are intact. He did that powerbomb off the apron and landed on his feet, and his knees like buckled a little bit. I was so scared for him, but it looked incredible. The thud, just incredible, satisfying sound. Bandido did that delayed suplex, and you could tell even Jericho was like, I can't stay up this long. I say we call that the inversion table suplex. Kept him up forever. Forever. And then I got to put over a spot that was actually, it looked like a bit of a botch, but it worked out really well. Go for the 21-plex, does Bandido. And he kind of struggles with the roll through, right? Or the roll back. And then Jericho reverses it and pins him. And I thought that was phenomenal. It ended up working out really well because you're like, okay, Jericho had time to react to that. Jericho had time to reverse that. And I thought that was, I ended up working out really well. Because listen, not everything goes the way that you want it to. And Jericho capitalized. Thought that was really good. Let's talk about this absolute dog shit finish that we saw. Which, by the way, you boys at FightfulSelect.com picked Bandido to win. Jericho hits Bandido with a bat. And they kept showing Bandido's family at ringside. Somebody told me that Bandido's mom still thinks wrestling is real, which that rules if it's true. That absolutely rules if it's true. And I love the way that they set this up last month by having Gravity have his mask pulled off, and they did the mask versus title match. Listen, if you're going to do a mask match for Bandido, it should have been at All In Texas. I know a lot of people don't want this feud to continue for another 3 months, but I'm like, what? Okay, so you say that because you don't want Jericho involved in something like that. Well, he's going to be involved in AEW now, and people say, well, he's going on tour. He's got one Wednesday date, buddy. And this was his best match in years, in my opinion. And if you want to do a Bandido mask match, I would put it in Texas where you're going to put asses in seats. If you got to do it again, sure. But this ending sucked. You got Aubrey coming out to ringside, and Bandido's mom, and I believe I don't know if it was his sister or somebody, correct me, please. But they're like, no, Jericho cheated. And they restart it. And Bandido wins. Bandido should have just won this match. It was, I don't even know how to put it into words, man. So like every time that somebody does it, is this a precedent? Is this just how it is now? If he would have won clean, it would have meant so much more. It would have been huge for Bandido. I mean, and you could argue clean. He didn't cheat to beat Chris Jericho. It's just it didn't need that dusty finish stuff to it. It didn't need that. Bandido becoming ROH champion off of Jericho. Again, he didn't do anything, so it's effectively a clean win for him. It just wasn't a clean situation there. I just saw this and I went, really? If anything, have him with the bat getting ready to use it outside the ring in front of Bandido's mom and Bandido's mom and sister steal it. So, I mean, you could argue Bandido's sister hit Jericho. I mean, listen, they're not going to DQ or DQ him for that. Jericho did grab the sister. So, like, if I were a ref, I wouldn't DQ that person. Like, you can't just go out and attack somebody and not expect to get slapped. Man. I'll tell you one thing, my friend. You'll be slapping yourself if you don't capitalize on this NordVPN deal.
There's no sponsor that I use more while I'm awake than NordVPN.com/Fightful. Man, this is like the Swiss Army knife, the multi-tool of applications. It does a little bit of everything. You always get a great deal at NordVPN.com/Fightful. You can listen to your favorites abroad. You can shield your data from snoops and criminals, protect yourself on public Wi-Fi, and it works on all your devices and operating systems. It doesn't end there. Change your virtual location and then get pay-per-views at a much more affordable price, TV services at a much more affordable price. You got a password manager, a file encryption tool, threat protections, and on top of that, 24/7 tech support. So if for some reason you don't know exactly how it works, NordVPN.com/Fightful will help you learn how to do it. Check it out, NordVPN.com/Fightful.
I know a lot of you all made use of that NordVPN.com/Fightful during the WWE European Tour. You were able to watch SmackDown with a Netflix subscription. You just log into your virtual, change your virtual location. You got access. If you're a WWE fan, especially, everything's on Netflix overseas. You change your virtual location. You watch Raw, NXT, SmackDown, and PLEs. And if you ordered this show, you could have changed your virtual location and got this price or this show for the price it was overseas. So NordVPN.com/Fightful, my friends. The one match that we missed on this show from our Bet Online AG picks. Daniel Garcia, Adam Cole. Adam Cole ended up winning. Daniel Garcia, they had him listed as an underdog. But I thought he was going to retain here. It was the no time limit, no outside interference match. I feel like this match suffered from a heat perspective because it was almost... It felt like exclusively on Collision. I watch Collision. I like Collision. I think they've done a great job with this on Collision. But I think that a lot of the audience probably doesn't watch Collision, and it reflected in that. Adam Cole gets great reactions before and after the bell. Sometimes in between bells, not so much. And I don't know why that is. He's a very likable guy. He's a very charismatic guy. Daniel Garcia brings it to such an extreme level in the ring. He's got the live event charisma, I think is what Meltzer calls it. They traded their pile drivers, but I'm interested to hear what you guys thought about this match because it was, and we got Miss Kate Babe who was at the show. But, It was pretty good. I feel like the crowd was a little tired here, as Vasco says. It's insane to me it's Cole's first title in nearly 5 years. I thought Garcia was going to kick out of the last shot. But I don't know. I wasn't ready for Daniel Garcia to lose this title, I don't think. I mean, a lot of it was, I know that this was the story I'd been waiting for Daniel Garcia. As I will ask our great moderator, Luis, to, if there are any quotes from the presser that are useful, let me know. I don't know if I'm slanted here because I wanted Daniel Garcia to retain. Maybe that clouded my enjoyment of it. Maybe it's because I've seen this match a couple times. And I did like the way they built it up. So again, I had seen a lot of what they do together, but it was still good. Like, I would not say that I was bored by this match. I just feel like I really wanted Daniel Garcia to retain this title. I feel like for the way that they had built him to win that title, he got involved in like tag feuds, trios feuds, and a lot of stuff other than the stuff that I thought that he would, which are, you know, robust stories. And this finally was one. And it was one based on competition and then bringing out the best of one another. Adam Cole wins. Ya boys at FightfulSelect.com had Kenny Omega as a lock pick. Listen, I've got electronics, but if I didn't, I would just pour this all over my head right now. When they booked this match, Kenny Omega, Mike Bailey, Ricochet, you knew it was going to be incredible. You knew that the three-way ingredient was going to make for some really fast-paced, high-flying, hard-hitting action. Speedball's gotten over so quick. Ricochet is quite literally on the best run of his life. And Kenny Omega is still doing what Kenny Omega does. He is who we thought he was. With Ricochet, if you go back and hear old shows, you hear me saying, I would love to see like an RVD style out of Ricochet. And like, not by that, I don't mean like whatever, cool, smoking weed, stuff like that. I mean like a guy that is so good at wrestling and he knows exactly how good he is. I'll give you a good example. Years ago, do y'all remember when Leo Rush had all that heat? Now, like, everybody likes Leo Rush. Leo Rush works really hard, is really respectful. He's a lovely dude. Family man. But I remember having a conversation with somebody, God, like 5-6 years ago in WWE. And they said, the problem with Leo Rush is he is every bit as good as he thinks he is. And sometimes that rubs people the wrong way. And I said, damn, that's a great wrestling gimmick. That would be a phenomenal wrestling gimmick. That's a lot of like what Ricochet does now. Ricochet knows exactly how good he is. He got on the mic and did that, but he does it in a way where it's like sort of corny, but it's intentionally corny, right? Meanwhile, Speedball is so humble and kind. Ricochet had the headset on and then kicked Ricochet and it knocked out the audio, but he said, like to apologize for interrupting your commentary. I would love if Mike Bailey just plays this very soft-spoken, hey guys, and then he kicks people's heads off thing. Oh man. The finish of this match was so good. The one winged angel off the second rope with Mike Bailey hung upside down. One of the coolest finishes I have ever seen. I'm going to go back and watch this match again tomorrow when I haven't watched like, you know, six hours of wrestling in a row, I would. This is match of the night for me. Are we all in agreement? Well, as somebody says, match of the night for sure. I think we're in agreement on that one. Match of the night for me. Tony Khan is asked at the scrum about possibly running 2300 Arena, and he says it's a possibility. He would love to run there. It would be cool if they could do it. Haven't been there in a long time. Adam Cole hasn't thought about having a custom title. Something he might want to consider now. Tony Khan says that the match we're about to talk about, he takes everything into consideration. They had a lot of great moments, but not the finish a lot of people were hoping for. But thinks Jon Moxley is one of the most important characters in AEW. N. Simmons says, match of the year candidate was this triple threat. They even did the Ricochet commentator spot. They got to give it to Ricochet a pay-per-view, though, with a fifth straight loss. I agree. Ricochet needs to win his next pay-per-view match, needs to win his next few pay-per-view matches, in my opinion. Well, one of the upcoming pay-per-view matches, Kenny Omega and Okada, he comes out, they face off. This is one that Fightful Select had reported that they were planning. Not a big surprise there, but this is something they've been planning for a long time. Long, long time. Since they signed Okada, they had something in mind, them facing one another. That's why they did the write-off. But this is going to be an all-in match. It's going to be a big all-in match. I think it's going to combine the International and the Continental title. The Continental Classic will continue. I hope they don't make this the Intercontinental title, because International title seems like a bigger deal. I would love it if it was like, if there was some additional name given to it, right? Like, you remember how the All-Atlantic title leveled up to the International title? I think it should level up once again, so to speak. Oh, boy. So, tonight on the FightfulSelect.com scoops thread, we mentioned a couple things. Mentioned that Swerve's family was in town for this show. But on our Bet Online AG picks, we had Moxley favored to win, and a couple people picked it up. They said, hold on. Swerve's family is there, but you're picking Mox. And I said, yeah, I'm picking Mox. I believe their vision has always been what it is. Now, I'm going to ask our moderator, Luis, to please separate the highly super chatted main event as much as we can. The match was fine. It was very slow paced. I don't think the match was nearly as bad as the ratings it's getting, but there are so many elements of this of which AEW and Tony Khan need to listen to their audience. Where do I begin? Swerve Strickland should have either won this match, or Jon Moxley should not be AEW world champion any longer. And I know they're probably going to go towards Ospreay winning it at All In now, carrying it into Forbidden Door, doing media at Forbidden Door there. What this show didn't need after that 30-minute classic was a slower paced 30-minute match after they had been through glass and all kinds of stuff this past week. Now, you can say, well, why would they go at each other like that after the violence that ensued? Listen, Swerve's smart. That's why. He knows what it takes to be world champion. He's strategic. But I'm talking about from a booking standpoint, like sometimes your audience just wants something more. And you've got John Moxley, you've got Swerve, two of the most violent people in the company. And I don't know that it reflected that. I love the Swerve stomp through the table. The Death Riders specifically didn't need this. Sick of seeing the Death Riders get involved in this. And like, so earlier on, we see everybody who gets involved. Like, should Swerve have had one of his family members that we reported were there hit up Aubrey and be like, no, Aubrey. Actually, they cheated. So let's run that back. Let's restart this. Because that's not fair. Kenny Omega probably should have beat Moxley for the title. Swerve should have probably beat Moxley for the title. This is not a shot at Moxley. The storyline just isn't hitting. It's okay at times. It's okay. Moxley is a phenomenal performer. The Willow stuff this week was wild. The Marina spot, wild. I don't think they're listening to the audience with this one. And listen, I don't know how you get where you wanted to get for All In. Obviously, you could have done Swerve versus Hangman world title. People still would have eaten it up. But what we got was the Young Bucks returning, and I am so happy they're back. We had reported on the FightfulSelect.com scoops thread that people had expected them back sooner. The Ops were involved. The Death Riders were involved. The Ops are clearly beating the Death Riders for the Trios title. I believe that. But One Struggle Radio, so just leaving Dynasty, had a ball for my first pay-per-view. I knew the Bucks were going to screw Swerve. Man, if you saw that coming, man, that's interesting. Somebody says Young Bucks had that deal with Mox way back, if you remember. I don't remember that. Jambeard says, with the Bucks now back, do you think the wild card could be a returning Perry? And the Bucks could help him beat Hangman in the Owen. Yeah, actually I do. I think that's a really good idea, Jambeard. For sure. But like, why are they in with the Death Riders? This is very corporate ministry right now. RP says, great ending. Sign me up for Bucks versus Hangman Swerve and Mox versus Takeshita or Will. I think it'll be Bucks versus Hangman and Swerve and then Moxley versus Will. That's what I think is happening. I don't think Takeshita is ascending to that level yet. Do you think this goes to Bucks and Okada versus Swerve, Page, and Kenny? That would sell tickets. Yeah, that would absolutely sell tickets. And I love that idea as well. The Bucks immediately being back into the fold does bring up a lot of questions because Kenny has been back and the Bucks have not been back. I really like that idea as well. A lot of good booking in our super chats and humper chats today. Keep getting those in. Dante says, if the pivot is Swangman, that's their name, Swangman, Hangman Swerve team, I'm cool with that, but I hate the booking that got us there. Don't want to wait for July until for Mox to lose the belt. The main event scene has no gas right now. I agree. And again, I had never been told that they're pivoting. All I had been told was that Darby wasn't necessarily the move. From what I understood, they thought they were going to get Darby back much earlier and it didn't end up happening. But Hangman and Swerve, give me that in the tune of every buddy cop movie ever. Because him finally hitting that, was it the Deadeye on Deadeye or Last Rites on Moxley? Whew. Now, see, when I found out Swerve's family was there, I kind of felt like maybe Moxley should have tried to DDT one of the kids. And that's where Hangman draws the line. Do you swang when you drive? Says JM Beard. Jambeard says, I have no problem with the Bucks returning and attacking Swerve. However, I have a huge problem with it being what cost Swerve the match. Should have done the attack after the match with Perry to end it. It's very bloodline pilled, man. And we just had 4 years of bloodline shit. We're ready to not do it anymore. I don't want to see it anymore. So I'm with you. Alex Fitzgerald sent two. Thank you very much, Alex. He says, weren't the Elite trying to take over AEW before the Death Riders started? Maybe they were the masterminds behind everything. Just an idea. If you remember, when they got ran off, they were shredding documents and a lot of stuff like that. I would really like for it to be that they masterminded it. I would really like that. And he also says, some might hate the ending, but Hangman helping Swerve plus the Buck coming out adds more interest. I think Double or Nothing is when Hangman wins the Owen and Swerve wins the belt. I wouldn't hate that either. If they did Swerve winning the title at Double or Nothing and the Hangman winning the Owen, I wouldn't hate that. And then that's how they end up facing each other again. But I think it'll go a different direction. And I think probably by July, we're looking at Will Ospreay as world champion. That's what I think. Anthony Velasquez says, last time we saw the Bucks on TV, they wrote themselves off because they were scared of Moxley and the Death Riders. Why are they helping Moxley now? Makes zero sense. They could play it as they were afraid of people finding out they were involved with Moxley as well. Yeah. Richie says, I mean, no disrespect to anyone personally. How tone deaf do you have to be to book something like this? They jumped the shark. I don't know if they jumped the shark, Richie, but it's hard for me to understand how they looked at these last two finishes with the momentum that they have gained and said, yeah, let's do it again. Let's keep doing it. Yeah, hell yeah. Crowd loves this. Everybody wants Swerve to win. Let's not do that. Sometimes you have to give the audience what they want. I don't think audiences are anywhere near, oh, I'm never going to watch again because of that. It's just, people just generally haven't enjoyed this story by and large. I asked Tony about it on the conference call, the media call. I'm like, how do you weigh pivoting and changing and all this stuff? Why would they give a shit about Ospreay after all this? Why wouldn't they give a shit after? What are you talking about? Why wouldn't they care about Ospreay? I don't get that chat at all, buddy. Listen, I know you're disenfranchised with how things went tonight, but Ospreay has been nothing but great. Damon says, Swerve, Hangman, Samoa Joe, Hook and Shibata versus the Young Bucks and Death Riders, Anarchy in the Arena at Double or Nothing. That seems like the likely scenario to me for Double or Nothing. That's what it seems like for me. And maybe a returning Darby. Say somebody gets taken out, Darby comes in. But also I could see, man. Where does Omega fit in? Because of the Elite element. What about Perry? Predicting Kenny, Strickland, Hangman, White versus Elite, Death Riders, Anarchy in the Arena. I don't know if Jay White's going to be ready for that, buddy. I think he's got to get surgery on that hand. New Lack City says, SRS, what's up, my guy? Great to see you. Thank you for sending a humper chat. Man, another pay-per-view where the show was excellent, but left a lot of people with a bad taste in their mouths. Moxley stuff has gone on so long, and now with the Bucks involved, I think it's going all the way to All In. I do too. I do too. I don't want the Death Rider thing to keep going the way it has been, man. In fact, what I would love to see is Moxley lose the title and then force Yuta to give him his title, and then that builds some stuff for Yuta. Zach Schimmel sent a very, very generous super chat. Thank you. He says, done with the world title picture. Never been mad at AEW. Let a lot of things play out. This was the wrong call. I agree with you. I agree with you. He says, TK needed to pivot and he won't. This really soured the show for me. Glad the Bucks are back. Love to Fightful. And I see somebody saying, don't want to see Darby and Mox in the main event, but we're getting it. If Darby is the person to beat Jon Moxley, I think that AEW and Tony Khan believe that the fans will be so exhausted and tired of Jon Moxley as champion that they think that people will be overjoyed about Darby. And it's nothing against Darby. It's just, it's not a natural move. It's not a natural move, and not the right one. Manzo says, Mox retaining is inexcusable. What a garbage ending. They'll have to pull some gigantic rabbit out of the hat to make this passable. Parker says, have no interest in Mox holding the belt. Death Riders are holding AEW back. Main event scene looks bleak. Loved everything else tonight. I don't think it looks bleak after July. You got a lot of people there. But right now, this isn't good. Some of the ingredients that have been associated have helped make it good. But it's not good. AEW Women's Division blog, which has been a sponsor of the Fightful Awards, says, feel deflated like my team just lost Game 7 in OT. Tim says, is it me or is TK in love with the Bloodline stories from WWE? Just what I said earlier. Very Bloodline pilled. It's the same old story in every Mox match. It's so much like the Roman matches a few years ago. I think that the people involved want it to be their Bloodline. And it can't go on like that. It can't. Absolutely can't. Man. Whew, allergy's starting to get me, guys. Get in your super chats. Get in your humper chats. I'll ask Luis to check out the Scrum comments one more time. We have a few more super chats and humber chats. I want to thank you guys for hanging around with us. Scott says, AEW being dragged down, kicking and screaming by the Death Riders. AEW has been on a heater in 2025. Why is Tony sacrificing so much for this angle? Because I think that he thinks that if the audience is so exhausted with Mox as champion, whoever they put over him will have a rocket ship on him, you know? And I don't believe that. Scott said, or actually Jordan says, what the F was that? The Death Rider title ruins it. World title has been gone since October. Trios hopefully go to the ops soon. Unless Swerve wins a rematch at Double or Nothing, will All In or Darby? Wouldn't buy pay-per-views if I didn't have NordVPN.com/Fightful. Tired of this story. Well, thank you for using your super chat as a plug. I appreciate that. But I think we are headed for Danielson, Yuta down the line. And this person says, can't wait for Danielson to come back to cost Mickey the title or Moxley the title. Very wrong choice tonight by trying to be optimistic. I think that should happen. I think they want their own version of, oh, Sting helps Darby and Danielson does and everybody helps. And it's fighting this thing, and maybe they tie in Bucks and Okada and Jack Perry, and that's what this is. It's, you know, Moxley and it's Moxley getting taken down by Ospreay. It's Omega taking down Okada. It's Hangman and Swerve taking down the Bucks. The Ops taking down the Death Riders, and slowly this corporation. I mean, quite frankly, if Moxley being an industry plant after talking about all this. okay, maybe. Maybe. How about Swerve mocks to it, Double or Nothing, Hangman at All In? I would be completely fine with that. If Swerve won the title, Hangman won the Owen, and they faced each other, I'd be fine with it. Eloquent says, I actually don't hate the Death Rider story. I just want the title out of the briefcase. That too, I need a reason for that. I need a reason for that, man. I need an explanation, more of one. N. Simmons says, AEW right now is like watching a great show or movie. Sorry, Eloquent, I know I didn't elaborate on that. I do want to see it more, though. I don't like the briefcase and the bag and all that stuff. I didn't like Christian with the briefcase thing either. I think a lot of their top title stuff has been not booked great. N. Simmons says, AEW right now is like watching a great show or movie with a horrible ending that takes all the joy out of the film. Darby is not a main event guy right now. The audience will turn on him. I don't know if they'll turn on him, but I don't think they will necessarily be like, hell yeah. Maybe I'm wrong. I'd like to be. People are calling for Eddie Kingston. Man, his knee injury. I'd be surprised if he was back in time for Double or Nothing. I hope so. But it's like the movie Trap. I love Josh Hartnett in that. I love the premise of it. But boy, once they traveled out of the area of which everybody thought that the movie was going to stay, people are like, this kind of sucks. This isn't good. Hey, there's still some time to correct this. Oh no, they're just making it worse. Oh, it's getting worse. And worse. And maybe they'll tie it up at the end. Maybe it'll be fine. Damn, they did it again. Listen, Tony Khan is better than M. Night Shyamalan, I believe. Somebody says Trap was really fun. If you got a lobotomy before you watched it, sure. Jambeard says, hate the idea of merging the titles, but okay if it's a double champ thing between Omega and Okada. I do not want to see them carrying around two title belts. One belt, all I need, don't need it. Vicky, our good friend, says, hi, SRS, Darby versus question mark. Jay is gone, no vengeance for Sting. Where does he fit? Workhorse with OC gone, like your opinion. Feel like they lost the touch. I think he will be involved in a Death Riders thing. I think that him actually, I think that him doing something with Claudio would be good. Like Claudio really heaving him around could make for some cool stuff. I also don't hate the idea of him going after Adam Cole, TNT title. It's something that means a lot to him. Tony Storm's been asking for Wendy Richter every day. Tony Khan would love to have her, but it takes two to tango, and they have a lot of contenders close to Tony's age. Bowens is also at the scrum and talks about the five-tool player moniker. I wrote a wonderful, if I do say so myself, long-form feature on him in 2018, of which I uncovered that Anthony Bowens actually was supposed to be signed by WWE, and they forgot to do it. Yep. It is 2 a.m. Eastern. I want to say thank you all, and I want to ask you guys a few favors. If you don't subscribe to FightfulSelect.com, I would really appreciate it if you did. But we are on audio platforms everywhere. Spotify, Apple, Amazon. If you don't mind, leave us a nice review. That goes a very, very long way for us. We are expanding on a number of social media platforms. We're about to sign a deal with TikTok. We're going to be doing some more stuff there. Kate is going to be doing some news hits over there, so you won't have to rely on second source information for our news on TikTok as well. We're going to be making a big play into that. Instagram.com/FightfulOnline. That is going to have a whole lot of new stuff on it, as is our Facebook at Fightful Online. Our TikTok is Fightful.com, by the way. We have Fightful Select Espanol. which, you know, if the subscribers move up on that, we'll keep it. We're thinking about rolling it into our Espanol Twitter, but our Espanol Twitter is near 1,000 followers. We have already broken a ton of Lucha related stories about Místico and MLW, his plans for that show, Rey Fénix news, Penta's WrestleMania match. We broke all that stuff over on Fightful Espanol and Fightful Select Espanol. Luis is doing a great job over there. We're still working on it, seeing how we can roll it out, get into that market, but we do want to serve that market better. So it's something we got our eyes on, but there's so many ways to support us. This week, got an interview with Steph DeLander. Grapsody is on Monday afternoon. They're talking Dynasty. Beyond the Bell with Andrew Zarian on Tuesday. The Hump on Wednesday. We have a new figure video with Jimmy Van talking LJN prototypes, and he's got quite the collection. We got a new Fightful Presents video talking about Sonny Siaki making a sacrifice of his kidney or making a sacrifice of his career and sacrificing his kidney to save a life. Then later this week, I believe we have Izzy Moreno as well, and a New Japan Windy City Riot name as well. Next week, we're going to have a bunch of WrestleMania names. We're fast releasing all the videos that day. My God, 90 minutes long. Support our sponsors, HelixSleep.com/Fightful, NordVPN.com/Fightful, as well as BetOnline.ag. I want to thank all of you that super chatted, sent comments, and thank you to our moderator, Luis. Thank you for Kate for her on-site coverage. I'm heading over to FightfulSelect.com. We're out.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.